Dibs. Written by Kakaita Lover and read by Litra. A Dresden Files, Harry Dresden, John Marcone fic. Rated Gen. Summary. Oh, and why not, wizard? In defense of the actions I took next, I was running high off of adrenaline and other things. I licked my palm and quickly wiped it on Marcone's face. He didn't even try and take off my hand or anything. Huh, I guess he really did like me. Because I called dibs. The warehouse nearby was on fire. But, and I want this to be clear, it was not my fault. Between the mortal drugs Torelli's thugs had pumped into me an hour ago, the magical pixie dust, thank you, Leah, from my hasty escape through the Never Never, and the fact that it was my third night running on less than an hour of sleep, I thought it was pretty impressive that I was upright and more or less coherent, let alone aiming in the right general direction, especially since the three elements were combining in decidedly interesting ways. Really, it was kind of awesome how well I was handling it, especially in the middle of a fight. And I shared this fascinating insight with my compatriots, possibly with a somewhat loopy grin. Marcone, Cujo, Thomas, and Murphy did not share my optimism, going by the increasingly alarmed and concerned glances I was getting. Well, blank with undertones of alarm in Marcone's case, but I knew he liked me, really. This group-wide consternation may have been because I was rambling a bit and swaying like a drunken tree in a hurricane, but it doesn't really matter because it was at this point that the giant winged blue kangaroo thing dropped out of the sky to interrupt us. Baron Marcone, it, she, trumpeted. I have found you now, and I demand vengeance for my brother's death. She, I decided. There was something vaguely feminine about the voice. If you could say that about something that sounded like a brass band. Was your brother the green thing with the horns that was chewing on Cujo's Kevlar, or the slimy purple one that was trying to sneak up on Murph? I wondered earnestly. Or maybe the vomit-colored yuck that tried to brain me with a light post? I didn't like that guy. Also, what is it with the Technicolor parade? Gay Pride is next month. My clever and not at all accidental off-topic rambling succeeded in diverting the giant blue kangaroo, and she paused for a moment before continuing, sounding much less sure of herself. I am here to avenge my brother's death 4 days ago at your command, and... I interrupted again, punctuating my speech with broad but clear, descriptive, and not even remotely ridiculous gestures. Whoa, hang on. Are we talking about the what's-it that was munching on people in the subways? Because that was very not cool, and the guy pretty much brought it on himself when he ate a bunch of John's henchmen. John likes his henchmen. It's hard to find people who hench well, and he takes it personally when they get nibbled on. By now, John and the rest were eyeing me with poorly concealed expressions of mingled horror, awe, and amusement. There definitely was not that much of the latter. Shut up. Kanga was obviously feeling decidedly wrong-footed and awkward, but opted to push on. Well, I cry challenge in defense of my elder brother's honor, so prepare yourself for death. You cur, for I shall... Hey, wait, no, you can't kill him! This was an odd tune coming from me, and I wish I had sounded less upset about the prospect, but the guy had just risked his life and limb on request to help us take down Purple and Slimy, Pukey and Green and Horny. Horned. Yes. You. So I figured I owed him at least a little consideration. It was also clearly the wrong track to take, because she drew herself up like a hot air balloon of offended righteousness. Oh, and why not, wizard? In defense of the actions I took next, I was running high off of adrenaline and other things. I licked my palm and quickly wiped it on Marcone's face. He didn't even try to take off my hand or anything. Huh. I guess he really did like me. Because I called dibs! Before I continue, take a moment to imagine the frozen tableau these words inspired. To my right, Murphy and Thomas were hovering somewhere between worried about the potential attacker, boggling at my defense of a man I have repeatedly claimed to hate, fretting about said man's reaction to my essentially licking his face, and laughing their asses off at my substance and deprivation-induced actions. True friends, both of them. To my left, the most dangerous mortal in Chicago, if not pretty much anywhere, stood, poker-faced, with my spit drying on his cheek. And mouth, a bit. Beyond him, Cujo appeared to be courting apoplexy, turning a purplish red that clashed horribly with his hair. His complexion only darkened when I kindly informed him of this fact. Some people have no gratitude. From the direction of the big flying kangaroo came a puzzled... Dibs? Yup, I informed her, nodding sagely. That means I get first call and final say on the vengeancy stuff, because he wronged me first. What did he do? She persisted, glancing between us sporadically. I glanced left, hoping for input. Surely the scumbag would at least offer some inspiration, anything that might help. Marcone turned to me blandly. Yes, Mr. Dresden, what did I do? Jerk. My mind flew rapidly over recent engagements with the scumbag. There had to be something, right? The man offended me by drawing breath. He had to have done something recently that I could claim to have been wronged by. There was the meeting to coordinate this little dust-up, but demanding an irritating level of politeness, pretty please my ass, I'd get him for that, wasn't actually reprehensible. At least, not technically. Then there was... No, there wasn't! He stood me up, I supplied a little smugly. Dead silence met my response. Stood you up? That squeaked inquiry was Thomas's input. Murphy was too busy not falling over as she dealt with her sudden and unprecedented asthma attack. I didn't dare even look at Cujo. I nodded like a bobblehead, still swaying, and elaborated. Last week, dinner, remember, John? I could see him connect the dots. Last week had been a meeting between Warden and Baron at a neutral restaurant, which Marcone had never made it to on account of getting caught up in the first part of the latest attempted coup by Torelli, which attempt had eventually led me to being drugged not 2 hours ago, so I wasn't completely sanguine about it. I had, of course, been perfectly content with this turn of events at the time, but I was now willing to bring it up in slightly warped fashion as an abominable slight. Whatever works, right? This is a grave insult? This time the question came from Kanga, and I did my level best to sober up a little as I answered. Oh, yeah. Very big deal. When somebody sets up a date... and then doesn't show for it. Doesn't even give prior notice. Big time discourtesy. Thomas's strangled yelp of date went ignored, as did Murphy's renewed wheezing. I was pretty certain this was a good choice of slights. She didn't actually seem upset about her brother's death so much as pretty sure that she was supposed to be, and I'd been getting a distinct romantic adolescent girl vibe, and sure enough, she seemed appalled at Marcone's callousness. That's terrible! How could he? How could you? She addressed this last to Marcone himself, who managed a fairly credible job of looking contrite. Should have seen what I had to do to make up for it last time I accidentally did it to my ex-girlfriend. Flowers, jewelries, expensive dinners, heartfelt apologies, help with her work, the whole shebang, I continued mournfully, subtly stressing the accidentally because playing for sympathy works much better when you haven't committed the very act you're objecting to. Well, you certainly deserve all that and more, she asserted forcefully, still giving Marcone the stink eye. I was liking this girl better and better. Yeah, I blithely agreed. So you can see how the whole getting stood up thing kind of trumps the death of a guy who actually started the fight by challenging John here by eating his minions. It's really very fair and logical. I beamed at her, willing her to agree and leave so I could go home and sleep until the world stopped spinning. It was starting to make me a little nauseous. A hand under my elbow steadied things somewhat, and I turned to thank Thomas, since I could hear Murphy still gasping for breath to my right, only to encounter a pair of very green eyes and a smirking visage. I do apologize for upsetting you so, Harry. Marcone all but purred to me. Too close. He was way, way too close. I attempted to sway backward since I was doing so much of that anyway, but he only pulled me closer, and my balance wasn't anywhere near good enough to oppose it. I assure you that I will do my best to rectify that. I could smell his breath. It really wasn't fair that I couldn't even claim he needed a tic-tac. Don't call me Harry. Also, I'm gonna throw up, I informed him. And he somehow managed to dodge out of the way and get me into a reasonable position for the act in time for me to miss him entirely. And myself as well, so there's that. The hand rubbing circles into the small of my back was completely unnecessary, but I wasn't in any state to argue just then. By the time I was upright again, the world had steadied somewhat, and Kanga had vanished. Shame, really. She seemed like a girl with good taste. Cujo had brought the car around for Marcone, and said mobster headed towards it once he was sure I wasn't going to faceplant, and once I and my friends had emphatically turned down his offer of a ride. He paused before closing the door, though, long enough to throw one last jibe my way. It was definitely a jibe. He just has a frighteningly good poker face. It even throws me sometimes. Any particular favorites in regards to flowers, Harry? Or are you a traditionalist? Don't call me Harry, John. And it froze all the way, naturally. I sniffed, smart-assing him right back. Later, I would regret that. The man has no concept of when to back down. Right then, however, I grabbed my brother, who was still freaking out about the date thing. You'd think he'd recognize a clever bit of subterfuge when he heard it. To use as a walking stick, and tootled my fingers sarcastically at the departing vehicle. Most of the drugs and pixie dust were out of my system. But the world still had a happy radiance about it, and I was feeling rather loopy again, now that the nausea had passed. So I stumbled away with a broad grin on my face, and maybe a manly giggle or two. But seriously, it was just the drugs. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying, especially if it's Murphy. The End.